You're listening to a Crossroads original podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the official 100 Huntley Street podcast. My name is Joe Amaral, and I will be your host for today. And I have to say, I've really been enjoying coming on and doing these lately. I don't know how many times I'll be able to get on here, but every time I do, I just really enjoy it because it gives me the opportunity just to go a little bit deeper on some of these conversations that I've had with guests on the televised, you know, broadcast version of 100 Huntley Street. And just to be able to pause and go a little bit deeper, have some better conversation or have more conversation has really been cool for me. And today is no different because I'm going to be speaking with Orlando Bowen, who just has one of the most incredible testimonies of forgiveness I've ever heard about in my life. I'm not going to tell you about his journey. He's going to tell us that later on in the podcast when we go deeper into the conversation. But we're going to be talking about a very important topic today, and it's a topic that I pretty much guarantee that everybody in the world has had to face at some point, and that's forgiveness, or should I say rather, unforgiveness. You know, I don't know about you, but this is a difficult one for me. Full disclosure, it's something that I've personally struggled with for a long time. Like a lot of you who are listening today, I've had people do things to me that I've had a very difficult time forgiving. And I think part of the reason why so many of us have a hard time with forgiveness is because there's this common misconception of what forgiveness actually means and what it is. You know, most of us believe that if we forgive someone, it somehow excuses the person, it excuses their behavior or their actions, and mitigates the needs for consequences. Some people would say, oh, if I forgive, you know, that person who gossiped about me, then it makes it okay that they gossiped about me. You know, or we've had things happen to us that are hurtful and upsetting, and they're difficult to get over, and we think, oh, if I forgive them, then it makes it okay. You know, a spouse cheated, so if I forgive him, does that make it okay? No. But on and on, these scenarios go, and we walk around with the idea that forgiveness excuses people's actions or for the need for consequences. And so we're walking around with this wrong idea, and it causes a lot of unnecessary pain, anxiety, not to mention a pretty wide range of other emotions. The truth is, forgiveness isn't for the offender. Can I say that again? I think it's important. The truth is, forgiveness is not, okay, for the offender. It's not for the other person. It's actually for you. It's for me. You know, when we forgive someone, what in essence we're doing is we're untangling ourselves or disconnecting ourselves from the weight of the hurt that person has caused us or has brought to us. You know, forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing the offense. Though forgiveness can help repair a damaged relationship, it doesn't obligate you to reconcile with that person. Sometimes we think, well, if I forgive them, then we got to be friends, we got to be buddies again, but I don't know if I can trust them again. That's not what forgiveness is. And yes, forgiving that person can help mend a relationship. And if that can, that's awesome. But if it can't, that's okay too. You know, carrying unforgiveness is like carrying an anchor through life. You may be able to move forward, but it's difficult, it's painful, and it's slow. Letting go of that anchor of unforgiveness, it actually releases you to move forward in freedom and in peace. I mean, Jesus speaks about this. Before he gives us what we call the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer, he's kind of giving a preface for what prayer can look like. And in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, he says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, then your heavenly Father will forgive you." Now, here's the difficult part of that verse, and it's this, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, then your Father will not forgive your sins." You see, when we walk in unforgiveness, It's like we're carrying this 2-ton weight with us every day of our lives. And then we wonder why we're so exhausted all the time. We're exhausted mentally, physically, emotionally, and even spiritually. You know, I suppose you could swim while holding an anvil, but wouldn't it be so much easier just to let it go if you dropped it? When we choose to forgive, my friends, we're actually releasing ourselves. It took me a long time to understand what that means, and like you, I've had people do some pretty terrible things to me. I carried around hurt and resentment for many years, but in the end, I actually wasn't hurting them. I was hurting myself. And the reality is that most of the time, the offender isn't even thinking about you. They're not thinking about us, but we sure do think a lot about them. And so that's why Jesus talks about the power of forgiveness, or both forgiveness and unforgiveness. And so today, my guest is Orlando Bowen, and he is a former CFL player. He's just an incredible guy. And when you look at him and when you talk to him, you would have no idea of the journey that he's been through. And that's why I always say, give people a little bit of space. You don't know what they're going through. He has an incredible journey of forgiveness. It's one of the most remarkable I've ever heard. And I know that it will impact you. And I believe that God can use his story to help you live in the freedom of forgiveness. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he prayed one of the most powerful prayers recorded in human history. You know, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." But how do you forgive someone when they know what they're doing? Well, my guest today is here to share one of the most powerful stories of forgiveness that I've ever heard. Orlando, thank you so much for being with us today.
I'm so blessed and honored to be here. Thank you.
You know, I was saying to you, I feel like I almost don't need to be here because this is such an intimate and personal story. And I just kind of want to guide the conversation. At first, just tell me a little bit about your upbringing. What kind of a home environment did you have?
Awesome. So new immigrants to the country.
From
Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Yeah, the sunny island of wood, water, and sunshine. You know, as new immigrants, there were some struggles with respect to not having access and resources, as is the journey. But lots of love and lots of encouragement and lots of belief that God is in control, right? And I came up in it, so I didn't necessarily have so much respect for it. It was just what it was for us, right? In terms of that type of environment. But very loving, very caring, encouraging, hopeful, but also a number of challenges.
Okay. And growing up, you got into professional sports. Tell us a little bit about that career.
Yeah. So I had the opportunity to, you know, play in the Canadian Football League. And for me, honestly, I was on a football scholarship, graduated, started working in IT, and I was like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then I got a call from the Toronto Argonauts and they invited me. They asked if I was interested in playing still. And I thought, could I serve community? If I play, can I do things that give perspective in community? And so I asked a question and they said, yeah, absolutely. If you make the team, you could serve in community. So I took that route. I took a leave of absence from work, tried out for the team, made the team, and immediately got involved in service, training police and racial sensitivity, working with sick kids, homeless youth, refugee families, students that needed some guidance, direction, or inspiration. I was just trying to see how I could pour out to make a difference.
You know, I didn't know that part of your journey, that's some of the training that you were doing, and that actually adds to the irony of what happened.
Yeah.
So for people who haven't, you know, heard your story before, tell us about that moment, that definitive moment where everything changed.
Yeah. So I was 26 years old, married, and we had an 18-month-old son, and my bride was pregnant with our second. Mm. And I was excited. I'm playing the game. I was doing, you know, acting on the TV show.
You were on the yard, still playing?
I was still playing. I was playing for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Okay. Signed a contract extension. went out to celebrate that signing. And again, very active in community at this time. And so while I'm waiting for my teammates to arrive, two guys approached me and they said, hey man, you got any drugs? And I almost laughed.
Right.
But I thought, well, obviously you don't know me, so maybe you're just asking a question.
Sure.
So I just said no, but I unequivocally, no.
No.
Back to my phone call, one guy stopped at the rear of my vehicle, the other guy continued on, and the guy that stopped says, are you sure you don't have anything? I thought that was a strange question.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm about to answer him, I'm like, well, hold on. When I saw him the first time, I saw two guys, and I'm only seeing one. Where's the other? He's in my blind spot.
Mm.
Put the phone on speaker, put on top of the car, took a step back so I could see them both at the same time. I said, what's up? What's going on? And they were both armed. They ended up grabbing me, wrestling me to the ground and started to beat me until the skin on my head split. And there were two things I always wanted to do in life, just based on my journey and growing up. One was being a dad that was present, and the second one was serving in community. And I, as I'm being beaten and on the ground and I could feel the blood running out of my body, all I could think was, God, don't let me die like this. Like let me be a dad.
It was to that point you thought.
Yeah. Some people are like, oh, so you thought you were going to die? I was like, no, I knew I was going to die. Like, there wasn't any doubt in my mind that I just couldn't believe that this was how.
Oh, okay.
And so I obviously survived the attack. The attack ended my football career. So it resulted in a severe concussion, couldn't pass my physicals. But a bigger challenge was that when the gentleman that I was assaulted by realized that I was actually the spokesperson for the police service, and it turned out that they were two corrupt undercover police officers that worked for the force that I trained in racial sensitivity. I was actually the face that brings police and community together.
Wow.
When they realized that, a huge cover-up began where I was taken to jail, wasn't allowed to speak to anyone. They then planted drugs by my car. So I went from being an athlete, celebrated contributor in community to now unable to pass my physicals, losing my job as an athlete, and facing prison time. And in that, you know, I'll take you to some moments that were defining for my mindset.
Okay.
Courtroom, officer comes in, takes an oath, puts his hand on the Bible, takes an oath to tell the truth.
This is one of the guys who assaulted
one of the guys I was assaulted by. So let's say that you're me and the judge is over there, right? Puts his hand on the Bible, takes an oath to tell the truth. He says, Your Honor, he's 6'2", 235 pounds, and he's actually trained to hurt people. In my 17 years on this force, I've never been so afraid for my life or my partner's life. And then he looks at you and he smiles. And when our eyes met, like, I can't even explain it. My grandmother used to always say, hurt people when they don't know what to do with their pain, they hurt other people.
They hurt people, yeah.
So when he said that and then looked at me, what came to me was, what kind of pain must he be? What must he have been through to allow him the capacity to show up like this for when you know the truth? It didn't make any sense. And so all I could think was, I need to pray for him to heal from whatever pain that he's been journeying through and pray for the truth to come out.
That's huge to be able to get to that point in that journey. It's like I said when I was introducing you, you know, when Jesus prayed, he prayed for people who didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
And these are people who knew what they were doing. Like, how do you get to that point of forgiveness?
Well, so I say perhaps they didn't know what they were doing.
Mm.
Right? So perhaps they felt like physically they knew what they were doing.
Okay.
But maybe, like, they didn't know the depth of connection as to what was happening in that moment. Right? So when people are journeying through their own things, sometimes they do things that have nothing to do with us. And this was one of those moments where I was just like, if you knew what our whole family is about and what even the sacrifices we've made to pour into the police service and to do things to bring police and community, this could not happen unless the pain that you're experiencing doesn't allow you to even see my humanity. Yeah. So that's where my mind went. Right, you could not see me as a human being and be doing what you're doing. That we're not. I don't think we're wired like that. I don't think we're designed like that. I think those are things that are learned, and that's why the prayer. I was just like, You know, in Scripture, Psalms 37, in Scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Literally, as I'm sitting there, I'm reading and I'm praying, and even there would be gasps from the folks in the courtroom when they would say certain things that were blatant lies or contradictory to each other. And I'd just look back and just pray, because this is so much bigger than us. And I truly believe that the fact that my life didn't end that night is just gives me an understanding that my life is purposed. So now it's to find the purpose, not to dwell on the pain, but what's the purpose then? Is it possible that this pain that we're journeying through could actually help them heal? Is it possible? Those are questions I ask, right? Is it possible that as we journey through this, they could actually find God, they could find Christ, they could find hope, they could find healing? So with those things, I was like, well, we have to get through this. It was bigger than us in that moment. And as we've journeyed through, we realize how much more bigger than us it actually is.
Orlando, I'm just trying to process not just what happened to you, but what you just said in terms of praying for that person, trying to understand what they've been through. How did forgiving these guys, how did that change you, who you are as a person?
Well, writing the forgiveness letter.
What is this? Because I know God, but some people may not know.
Yeah, so I went to a business conference. A friend of mine was like, yeah, you need to, like, there's opportunities for you to, like, just level up. You need to go to this business conference. So one of the activities at the business conference was, who do you need to forgive? And I was like, I don't need to forgive anybody. I'm good. Right? So the person beside me is like, I haven't spoken to my brother in 10 years because of something he said at my wedding. And I was like, man, that's your brother. So then I started thinking, because we were still in court at that time. Okay. And so it wasn't necessarily who do I need to forgive, but I thought, what would I actually say to the officers if I didn't have to remain silent when they were testifying? That's what I started to write. And I'm thankful, grateful, and actually forever in debt to you for this experience, because it's changed my life. Like, it's made me a better father and a better husband and someone who serves in community from a lens of understanding what it feels like to have the odds stacked against you, to have people who once said, hey, I've got your back, to now you're in their minds convicted.
Right.
So it the perspective through that whole process was that grew immensely, and I started to just see how we could use what we were journeying through to pour into other people, like, regardless of what the outcome is, because we surrendered the outcome to God. We're like, we're here. You allowed me to survive the night, so whatever happens henceforth
is bonus.
It's bonus.
Yeah,
we're in, like, bonus time. You know, you're a soccer fan, football fan. You're in extra time now, right? Yeah. So whatever happens now, it's not about me. So if there's one thing that I say died that night, was my understanding of being committed to me doing anything personally for myself. For me, I'm like, I'm living for community. And now we have to stand steadfast in what we believe more than ever, right? Because Ubuntu, you know, it's a word rooted in the Zulu language, means I am, because we are. There's a shared humanity.
Oh, that's powerful.
There's a shared humanity. So modeling that shared humanity has to be the way we just choose to live our lives. Even when we're harmed, disrespected, or worse by others.
I mean, I could talk to you for another hour, but unfortunately, time doesn't allow. In this last moment, what do you say to somebody who's watching who has unforgiveness? Something was done against them. They feel like they've been wronged. Like, I have the right to be mad. What do you say to that person?
Well, when folks are struggling with unforgiveness, one thing I say is, let me first of all define what forgiveness is not for me. Forgiveness is not saying that what happened is okay, because it wasn't.
That's important.
Forgiveness is not saying I need to turn the other proverbial cheek because I choose not to. And it's not saying I need to renew some sort of relationship with the person I've been harmed by. It's none of those things for me. For me, it's releasing the energy connected to the emotion trapped in that moment that wouldn't allow me to stand or sit here present with you and to see your humanity and to show up as a father, husband, and someone that serves in community. That's what forgiveness is. And we could go through the science of it in terms of its impact and the reasons why you should forgive, because you hold unforgiveness in your heart is like, you're holding on to something, feeling like you have a right to do it, but it's actually killing you. It's actually doing, like, there's been a number of studies that talk about the long-term and short-term impact of forgiveness. It's like you're staying in fight or flight mode, which has tremendous negative impacts on the body, right? But understanding that there's a God's grace through forgiveness that allows you to move in ways that you could show up and honor others' humanity in light of, I won't say despite, in light of what you've journeyed through.
Orlando, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for putting that message out there for people to hear. I know that a lot of people who have heard this today, that God's going to use that to speak to them, and may forgiveness reign in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. 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 Appreciate you, bro. All right.
You talk about an incredibly powerful story of forgiveness. And I just want to kind of add, because we didn't get to hear this in the conversation, but he was able to get justice and he was fully acquitted. So we're so thankful for that. But it's incredible that in his journey, he could have become bitter. That would have been the easy thing to do, right? What if that happened to you? What if something even close to that happened to you? How would you react? What would you do, right? And the fact that he was able to come to that place of forgiveness, to put himself inside their mindset and see or try to understand what had happened to them that would make them be like that. I mean, powerful, powerful, transformative. I was so blessed, so honored to have that conversation with him. And I'm thankful that we've continued to be friends since that conversation. We text each other and we're just, you know, we're keeping that relationship going. And I'm looking forward to seeing how God is going to continue to use this man to spread this powerful, powerful message. So let me bring this to you as we close today. Who do you need to forgive, right? Is there a person? Is there a group? Is there an organization? Is there a people? Who is it? What is it that you need to forgive? And we need to put the excuses aside. Oh, I have the right to be hurt and I have the right to be angry and all this kind of stuff. Can we just put that all to the side for a moment and say, God, search my heart. Where is this unforgiveness coming from? And why am I carrying this anger, this guilt, and in some cases, even hatred, this poison inside of me, Lord? How do I get it out? If you're struggling with that today, like we always do, I'm going to encourage you to call our prayer lines here at Crossroads. That number is 1-866-273-4444. And there's people here 24 hours, 7 days a week who will answer that call, who will pray with you, who will walk you through that journey of forgiveness. They will read scripture with you. They will pray scripture over you, scripture about forgiveness. And I just want to encourage you to take some time. Like I said, maybe you're driving somewhere, maybe you're out for a walk and you have your headphones on. And this has really hit you today. And you would say, yeah, I need to forgive. I'm tired of carrying this weight. Well, my friends, let today be the day that you start the journey of walking in the freedom of forgiveness. God bless you, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us today. Again, this has been Joe Amaral, and thank you for listening to the official podcast of 100 Huntley Street.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Centre of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.